Okay, welcome everybody back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. May her Nesham have an Aliyah in the Merit of Torah. It's her Yurtzai next week, right?
Sunday.
Yeah. So she should really be a Chayyaz Yasha for us, especially for your family. It is the 15th, November the 15th. So let's learn. So I mentioned that I'm not sure if we're going to get to the Sefer. And the reason we might not get to the Sefer, you'll see there's some Bereishis on the table. You know, of all those Sfarim on the shelf, that's all the Bereishis I managed to find. Four. So please share with the person next to you. They must be in use. It's okay. What happened was, I think it's, if share with the person next to you, we'll see if it's enough. I don't usually, I wrote, this is special written for this class. Presented at Shari. Okay. 11/15/16. I was going through Parsha with Rashi last week, and we are in the section on Kol HaDibur. The past 3 weeks, we've been talking about Kol HaDibur. And something fascinating emerges. We're going to try and get to the Sefer, but I don't know. In regard to Hagar. Okay? So I want to look at what happens with Hagar. We are under the impression that Hagar is sent away one time. How many times is Hagar actually sent away? Not twice. Once, it's not correct. Twice. Sent away once before she has Ishmael and once after she has Ishmael. And there are small nuances in the Torah that lend itself for us. And I want to tell you something, I never noticed it before. And I think Dafka, because we're going through the section of the Sefer that's on Kolach HaDibur, that I saw the story in a very different light. Only because we're learning about Kolach HaDibur, stressing it in this class, that through words we create worlds, and through words we destroy worlds. So if you could please open up to Sefer Bereishis, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 16, verse 1. I want to look at the two times Hagar was sent away, the reaction of Hashem, or Malachim, so to speak, and why this happened. So who doesn't have a Chumash?
What Pasuk?
Perek Tes Vav. Tes Vav?
Yeah.
Tes Zayin, just joking. Tes Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, Esther, I think, is going to go get some more. Okay. So again, I prepared this special for this class, considering we are talking about looking through the lens of Kolach HaDibur, and I even called it power of words to create or destroy. So let's see what happens with Hagar the two times she sent away. Esther just brought Chumashim. Thank you so much, and Tizkul Mitzvos. Okay. Perek Tzayin Pasuk Aleph. V'Sarah Eishes Avram Lo Yaldolo. Sarah, the wife of Avram, did not give birth for him, and she had a Shivcha Mitzri. She was the daughter of Paro. Her name is Hagar. This is in last week's Parsha. And Sarah said to Avram, Hashem has stopped me from giving birth. Please come to my maidservant. Maybe I will build through her. By Yishma Avram, the call Sarah. Avram listened to her right away on the call. Avram listened to the voice of Sarah. Rashi importantly notes Sarah had Ruach HaKodesh. So Sarah, the wife of Avram, takes Hagar, the Mitzris, her maidservant, after 10 years of living in the land of Canaan, gives her to Avram for a wife. Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Dalet 16:4. And he comes to Hagar, Vatahar, and she conceives. Now, Vatereki Harsa, she sees right away she conceives. Oh, wow. Sarah, you're with him. Sarah, at this point, they're in the Eretz Canaan for 10 years. Sarah's 75 years old. You never conceived. Look at me. I became pregnant right away. Vatekel gavir tabeine. Her mistress, Sarah, becomes light in her eyes, demeaned. And Sarah says to Avram, I'm angry at you. Chamasi alecha. Wow, look at this. I gave my maidservant. Now she sees she is conceived. I am light in her eyes. God will judge between me and between you. By the way, very powerful Baal term. Parshas Chaye Sarah, why did Sarah die first? The Baal term says, she says, God will judge between me and you. The Gemara says, if you bring judgment upon someone else, Hashem judges you first. Okay. And Avram says to Sarah, wow, the maidservant is in your hand. Asila hatov be'inayich. Do whatever is good in your eyes. What's the next word? It's key for our Shir. I'm in Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Vav. What's the next word? Vate'aneha Sarai. Sarah afflicted her. Okay? And she ran away from before her. And an angel of God finds her by the spring of water in the desert. And Hagar says, Vayomer. He said, Hagar, Shivcha Sarah, Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, where are you coming from? Where are you going? I am running away from Sarah, my master, my mistress. And he says, go back to her. Submit yourself, the same root word. Allow yourself to be oppressed by her. And the angel says, I will make you plentiful, your offspring. They won't be able to be counted. There will be so many. And the angel says, you will become pregnant. She miscarried the first one. You will give birth to a son. You will call him, very important, Yishmael. You're not with me? I mean, Zayin Yod Aleph. Chapter 16, verse 11. Why is he supposed to be called Yishma? Why will he be called Yishma? What does it say?
Because
Look at the pasuk. What does it say? Kishama Hashem.
Yes,
I can't hear you.
Hashem heard her infliction.
Ah, it doesn't say Hashem heard your voice. It says, Kishama Hashem al aniyeh. Hashem heard your affliction. Now, it's very interesting. It's a Targum Unklus. If you look at Unklus, Targum Unklus always translates prayer as two letters, the root word tzadi lam, itzel. Whenever, if you don't know what the word means, vayetar yitzchak lenochach ishto ki akarayi vayetar, Targum Unklus uses the word tzadi lamed. Vayetar yitzchak lasuach basada sicha is prayer. Targum Unklus uses the word again, sheiv. It's very beautiful, by the way. Targum Unklus is saying, what is prayer? To come under the protection, the shade, the cooling wings of the Ribon Sha'olam. The Kabil Hashem Tzilosi. Hashem accepted your prayer, but on the level of the Pshat, Hashem heard that you were afflicted. Your son will be a wild ass of a man, his hand in everything. Okay. Oh, and then Pasuk Yud Gimel, and she said, Hashem HaTover Elea Ata Kel Roi. You are the God who sees. What did he see? Her?
Affliction.
Okay. Okay. Therefore, she calls a pasuk dalad be'er l'chai roi. Whose voice does Hashem hear here clearly from the pasuk and from Targum Unklus? Hagar. He listens to Hagar. Hagar is not such a good person. Why would Hashem listen to Hagar? So I want to talk about this word, vate'aneha. She oppressed her. It's in pasuk. Where did we see it? Pasuk vav. Vate'aneha Sarah. Sarah oppressed her, and she caused the maidservant to run away. You with me?
Yes.
Now, in Sefer Shemaos, there is a pasuk that says, ready? Call amana v'yasam lo se'anun. Ah, same word. Every widow and orphan you shall not
oppress.
Ta'anun, you shall not oppress. Exact same word. For your own reference, it's in Mishpatim. Yeah, Parashas Mishpatim, Shemos, Perich of Beis, Pasuk of Alf, 22:21. Call aman of Yosem lo sa'anun. You cannot oppress a widow and an orphan. Continues verse 22, Pasuk of Beis. Im ane ta'ane oso. If you oppress, surely oppress him. What is he going to do? Does anyone know the next words?
Call out to Hashem.
Ki im tzaok yitzak eila. Your oppression will cause him to call out. And what are the next words? Hashem will?
Punish. No.
First, Hashem. No, you're close. That's the next verse. First,
hear.
Shama esh matzakaso. There's an order. The Torah is telling you a mathematical formula. If you oppress someone, aneta ano oso. Call mana v'yasam lo sa'anu. Don't do this. Because if you oppress them, aneta ano osam, I'm telling you what the formula is. B, stage B is they're going to call out from their place of oppression. C, I will surely hear them. D comes the punishment, verse 23. What happens to the oppressor? V'chara api, my wrath will flare. V'harakti eschem b'charev. By the way, just not even related to Hagar at this point. Just listen to what we're learning from the Chumash on the very basic level of Pshat without Mefarshim. My wrath will flare. I will kill you by sword. Mida v'kenega mida v'hayuna sheichem almanos. Your wives will be widows. Uvenechem yisomim. And your sons will be orphans. So how grave the Torah looks at mistreating, oppressing, injustice towards a widow or an orphan. And what root word do we have here? Call aman v'yasam lo ta'anun. You shall not oppress. Im ane ta'ana. Also, if you do oppress, double lashon. Look how strong this. Oppress, you will oppress. You will call out. Surely call out. I will hear. Surely hear. Now we can propose, in a certain sense, but not in a strictly halachic sense, that Hagar's about to become an almana of sorts. She is being sent away, and she is pregnant with child. The child who she is pregnant with is about to become an orphan of a living father. There is such a thing. They said to Rachel, the wicked neighbor said to Rachel, the wife of Akiva, your husband left you in a state of living widowhood. Hagar is about to become, in a sense, though not a halachic sense, like a living widow, and the child within her that she is expecting is about to become an orphan of a living father. It is very grave to oppress such people. You oppress them, ana ta'ana, they will call out, Hashem guarantees you, I will hear them. What happens to the oppressor? What do we say? Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel of Shemos tells you what happens to the one who oppresses?
He will become oppressed. He will, Hashem will punish him.
You're going to suffer. Chara api, my wrath will flare. V'haragti aschem b'cherev, I will kill you by sword. Your wives will become widows. Your sons will become orphans. The one who oppresses will suffer in turn. Okay.
Mita keneged mita.
What?
Like a mita keneged mita.
I can't hear you.
Like a mita keneged mita.
Correct.
Type of situation.
Mita keneged mita. So we have a situation here where Sarah is oppressing Hagar. Hashem clearly hears Hagar. The pasuk says straight out, his name is Yishmael, ki shama Hashem el anayeh. Hashem heard you. What does Targum Unkla say? Hagar. He accepted your prayer. And the very next pasuk says, if you look inside, v'hu yia para adam. He's going to be a wild ass of a man, Targum Art School translation. Yado bakal, his hand and everything, v'yad kol ba. We're contending with this Yishmael till today. Can we say that it is the oppression of Sarah that led to, I'm going to quote the Ramban, the answer is yes. Can we say the oppression of Sarah, Vata'aneha Sarai, Vativrach, Sarah's oppression caused her to run away, and the Pasuk tells us in Mishpatim, if you oppress them, they'll call out. She oppressed her, 1 second. She called out, Hashem heard her voice, the consequences are there. I'm going to quote the Ramban. Quote, it's the Ramban, it's a Bereishis Pasuk Vav, here in our Parsha, okay? In Parsha's Lech Lecha. Atanei Sarah v'tivrach mepaneha. Sarai, by the way, she's not sorry yet. If you have Mikros Gedos, you can look in the Ramban. I'm in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Vav. But I'm just telling you what it says. Telling you what the Ramban says. On the word, Sarah oppressed her. Ready? Chata, I could pass this around after, you want to see the Lashon. Chata imenu b'inui hazeh. What does that mean?
Sorry.
Our foremothers sinned with this oppression. The Gam Avram, and also Avram, Behinicho La'asos came. And he let her do it. Vishama Hashem, he doesn't say Hashem heard her prayers. Vishama Hashem El, what do you think the word is? Anya. Again, he heard her oppression. Vinasan la ben sheyehe para adam. He gave her a son who was a wild ass of a man. La'anos Zera Avram Visara. Oh, yeah. To oppress in turn the seed, the offspring, the progeny of Avram and Sarah, b'chol mine ha'anui, with all sorts of oppression. So we're talking in this class for the past 4 weeks, if not more, from before Yom Tov, I don't remember when we started, this inyan of Koach HaDibor. And the koach of words create or words destroy. And words that leave the soul enter the soul. That's one of the last things we said last week. The koach of Dibur, we have explained over and over, creates a new creation. Sarah, with her inui, causes a chain of events that is outlined in Parshas Mishpatim. It is very clear in Mishpatim, when you oppress verbally, inui, not only verbally, financially, all different forms of oppression, when you take advantage of a yasam and an almana, and here Hagar and Yishmael are about to become the yasam ve'almana of living widowhood and living orphanhood, she's already expecting at this time. It doesn't say she calls up because she's compassionate, it doesn't say any of those things. She doesn't call for assistance, she calls up directly because of the inui. That is why she is calling out. And in Mishpatim we are told, if you do this, they will call out to me. I will hear them and you will suffer. And unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, we see the effects down till today. I'm going to repeat the Ramban and then I'll take your comments. Chata imenu bi'inui hazah. He says specifically what the issue was, the inui, the oppression, the gam Avram, and also Avram, bihinicho la'asos kein, he allowed her to do this, v'shama Hashem al aniyah, Hashem heard that oppression, and gave her a son who will be a wild ass of a man, la'anos zera Avram v'sara, b'chol minei hanui. This Ramban, he was a Rishon, talking about living 1,000 years ago, what should we say today? And he will oppress with all sorts of affliction the progeny, the offspring of Avram and Sarah. I want, before I take the comments, I'm going to tell you, before I say, is it clear? I know there are some questions and comments, but we have to reiterate, not we have to, the Torah once again points out to us when we put this parsha and this section together with Mishpatim, the consequences are dire. We have to take into strong consideration the power of our words. In this case, not only was one generation affected, but generations, Rabbi Eskoel Sadek, till the end of time, are affected. Yes, you both wanted to say something. Shani and Malki.
I was just thinking when I heard this whole example, it reminded me of what Penina did to Hannah. And even though, yes, she did it for her own good, so she should cry it on her own, Penina was faulted for using her mouth in such a derogatory way to a person that was like almost like a Nebuch. She can see herself almost like dead because she had no children.
Right.
And Penina got punished for it and lost
and she herself was destroyed.
Yeah.
But what did you want to say? kind of to get her Yeshua.
Wait, I can't hear.
But yet Penina was punished.
Say it away.
The Inui give her the Yeshua.
Right,
that's why we said the same way with Sarah. Why should Sarah be
stop. What is Sarah saying?
The fact that Chana was oppressed by Penina, that oppression, even though the oppression was bad, and that's the point of it, but at the same time, Hashem gave her the Yeshua after that oppression. Like, after she was evicted from that,
but Penina still suffered because of it, and her children died. Okay, and what did you want to say?
So, two things. One, I was going to look at the chronology, because Sarah, but Ta'aneha, it was before she sent Hagar away, and before Hagar was a living widow and her child was a living orphan.
Okay.
So it almost seems like Sarah was punished prematurely. Hashem punished her for the oppression, but do you follow what I'm saying?
No, keep going.
He punished her for the oppression. And it says in Mishpatim, I will turn your
children into widows. But she says, when the Malach finds her and she says, why are you running away? She says, I'm running from Sarah, my master, my mistress. Gevirti, the English of that is, Sarah, my mistress. And he says, go back. Yeah, Shuvia Gevirti, go ahead.
No, we're saying that because she oppressed Hagar.
Yeah.
That's why Hashem listened.
Yes, that's exactly right.
But that was a different context. That was when she was in the home and she oppressed her. She gave her very, very hard work to do, and she made her, you know, she made her life miserable. But
okay,
she hadn't sent her away at that point.
But perhaps in her mind, she was already getting prepared to send her away because she says to her husband, "Chamasi alacha." Okay.
Fine. Okay. Now my other thought is, Sarah should have done something else. She should have davened. Like, she should have let Hagar get away with it. Like, theoretically.
What else could she have done? What else should she have done? I don't know.
She should have done something else.
I don't know. But according to...
Sat down, got to family counseling.
A person can still be sent away without... One second. A person can be sent away without being oppressed.
She got her.
A person can cut off ties with somebody else when necessary without being oppressed and subjugated to oppression.
Well, maybe she didn't send her out. Maybe Hagar left out of oppression. She was set.
Yes, she did send.
Says Vatibrach. She ran away. Correct. She fled. But she fled because she was being abused. I don't know a different. Oppressed.
Okay.
Afflicted. The article says afflicted.
When Rachel when Rivka wanted to send. What did she send? I'm so tired. When Rivka saw that Esav was not good for Yaakov, this is her own child.
She sends Yaakov away.
Right, she sent Yaakov.
Okay. Away. Oh, so you're saying that there are times that you could send a person away without... Okay.
In other words, there's a way to do it, but she definitely had to be sent away. She looked at what the future would be, and this was not a good
You're right, she flees, but okay, she flees, and Sarah doesn't send her away, but she is clearly in a place of pain from the fleeing, and there are ways to send somebody else away that's not under affliction. What did you say, Abigail? And then I want to go to this week's parasha.
Later, but you have it.
No, I was going to say that she sent Yishmael away because that's not...
That's
later.
I know. I just keep...
So I want to go to that now. And look, ladies, I want to go to that now and look at the difference. But the wording and the language and the consequence and the sequence of what happens here, if we look at the same root word used not only in the Psukim over and over again, but by the Ramban, related to Shemos, it is a startling, what emerges is startling, and what also emerges is frightening. We are contending with Yishmael and his offspring today, and the Ramban clearly links that to the Inui. He clearly links it to the Inui. That's his Lashon. He meant, Chata Imenu bi'inui hazah. And also Avram, Vishama Hashem El Aniyah. The result of that is Kishama Hashem El Aniyah. That's Yishmael.
Wow.
So Yishmael represents a big problem for us. And according to this opinion, and related to the verses, it's a problem. How exactly should have she behaved? What should she have done? I don't know. And we're not suggesting that. We're just looking at what the Torah is telling us. And the Musar Haskel for us is the power of our words, once again, not only to affect us, but to affect the generations. I want to go now, our parasha. I want to move on to our parasha. Yeah.
Today we learned about, we keep going from Chava. That we're still... Now you're telling me that Sarah caused our Arab... Israeli conflict. I mean, it's like really helpful.
That's why. That's why. One second. That's why.
What's with women?
Ladies, that's why everything is in the Torah. And that's why the Ramban says, he's quoting Medrash Tanchuma, Koma Shu'ira La'avo Simon Labanim. Everything that happened to us is a foreshadowing of what, everything that happened to them is a foreshadowing of what happened to us. And their story is our story, and their path and their situations are our path and our situations. And we're learning very, very deeply that words and behavior have a tremendous impact, not only on this generation, but we have to have the foresight to see what happens going forward. And I want to point out, Daphne, in regard to Koach HaDibur and Koach of Kol, why was Hagar listened to here? Specifically, not because her voice was so hated, but because...
Orphan. She was oppressed.
The Inui, the oppression. Now let's look at our Parsha, please. Okay? So turn to Bereishis 21. Perachof Aleph, Pasuk Tes. So it's a key nakuda to point out. Hagar was not listened to because she was a tzaddikas. Perchav Aleph Pasuk Tes. Wait a minute. Hashem told Avram, Kol Asher Tamar Lechasar Shema Bekola. That's in this week's Parsha. And we saw in the passage we just looked at, she had Ruach HaKodesh. She, Yishma'al, and Hagar could not be there along with the progeny of Avram Avinu. But nowhere does it say you have to oppress somebody else.
So how do we move forward? How do we get out of this mess?
That I want to move on, yes.
Oh, I think in the Haggadah, I don't know, you'll know the Chumash part better, but the Mitzriim, this is Vata'anunu, right? It's the same, they oppressed us, they also were punished for going over, they were supposed to be a galus.
You know what's unbelievable about that? I don't know if I've got it here, but what's one of the first things I said when we started the passage about Hagar? The last Shivcha Mitzris, and Rashi says there, whose daughter was she?
Paro.
That's really scary. You know why? We oppressed Bas Paro. Mida Keneged Mida. Bas Paro's children oppressed us. So you bring up a very relevant point that ties in exactly to our shir. You can't deny that it is her inui that causes this problem. Hagar is the daughter of Paro. That's what Rashi says in the beginning to Perek Tazayin. Paro said, let my daughter be the mistress, the maidservant in that house rather than a mistress in the maidens. But you bring up another beautiful mida kenega mida. Atanua said, I don't have a Haggadah here. We could probably find it online. But their oppression, perhaps, we could see is mida kenega mida for our oppression. It's a big problem. So Sarah was answered. Yishma's name means Kishama Hashem es aniyech. Doesn't say you're tzedekis and you heard your prayers, even though that's what Uncle says. But on the level of the pshat, what did God see? Their affliction. That's why she was answered. Now I want to look at something else and turn to Perichav Aleph Pasuk Tes 21:9. Thank you for the extra chamashim. 21:9. Because now we're going to see something very different happens here. So lest we think Hagar's a tzaddikas, which is not the picture I'm trying to paint here. Even though, by the way, Avram remarries her after Sarah dies, which I always find fascinating. Keturah is Hagar. There's clearly something good in here. Ladies, order in the court. She's not a tzaddikas. She's answered because of her affliction, which is exactly what the Pasuk tells us in Mishpatim. That's why, Shani, I don't exactly see what the point you were trying to make. Because the Pasuk says straight out, Im ana tana oso kim tzok yitzok aile shema eshma tzakaso. You're looking at the order of when exactly, the sequence of when she was sent away. Lamaisa, Sarah afflicted her. And God heard that and answered her. And that's Yishmael. Yishmael represents the affliction. Kishama Hashem el aniyech. What does Yishmael represent? The affliction of Hagar, of Sarah too. Hagar, it's inherent in his name. And the Ramban says, we suffer because of it. He goes even farther. He says, Chata imenu bi'inui hazeh. Let's look at our parsha. Batei Sagar. Oh, again a problem. Es ben Hagar mitzvus ashayalda Avram mitzachik. Sarah sees that the son of Hagar, the mitzvus who was born to Avram, is making a mockery. And she says, chase away this maidservant and her son. She will not inherit, but only my son Yitzchak. The matter was not very good in the eyes of Avram. Very, very bad in the eyes of Avram over the news of his son. I know what Raj says, talking about the level of the pshat right now. And Elohim says to Avram, no midas hadin. Midas Adin is required to send away one son. And Elohim says to Avram, let it not be bad in your eyes. I'm in verse 12, over the lad and over the maidservant. Everything Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Rashi says, unbelievable Rashi, Shahaya Avram Tafa Lasara Benevius. Avram was secondary or under Sarah in Nevius. So she has a very high level of Ruach HaKodesh. Through Yitzchak you will have offspring. But also the son of this maidservant, I'll make him into a great nation. He is your offspring. Avram wakes up early in the morning and he takes a flask of water. He gives it to Hagar. She puts it on her shoulder and the lad. Now here she's sent away. The first time she runs away again because of the Inui. This time she is sent away. It doesn't say anything about Inui here, which is important because whose tefillahs are going to be heard this time before we even go forward?
The tribe?
His. Okay. Why were her tefillos answered? Only because of the oppression which is symbolized in the name of Yishmael. That's what the name means. Kishama Hashem, Hashem heard the affliction. Here, she doesn't run away. There's no oppression. God specifically says, listen, one second please. And they're sent away. And she goes and she strays in the desert. The water is finished from the flask. Look inside. Perchav Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Vatashlech Es Hayalad, Tachas Achar Asichem. She can't handle it. She throws the boy away under one of the trees. I'm in Perchav Aleph, Pasuk Tezai, in chapter 21, verse 16. And she goes and she sits off to the side, like a bow, the shoot of a bow away, and she says, Al Arab Mosayad, I can't see the death of the child. And she sits, now look at this, she lifts her voice and she cries. So who's davening here, you would think? Who's lifting up their voice? Hagar. And what are the very next words? By Yishma Elohim El Kol Hanar, she is ignored. Her voice is not heard, which further strengthens that the reason she was accepted last time has nothing to do with the person. Sit back a little bit. Well, thank you. Has nothing to do with the person she is. It has only to do with the fact that she was an oppressed woman. Here, the juxtaposition of her crying and lifting her voice to the Torah telling us who God listened to is a powerful connection that cannot be overlooked. She cries, and yet the Torah says, Hashem does not hear that voice. Hashem hears the voice, again, power of voice, the voice of the Nar. And the angel calls out to her and says, Malach Hagar, what's going on with you, Hagar? Don't be afraid. What does the Malach say to her? Hashem heard the voice of the Nar. This time, who is being ignored? Hagar, one second, please. I know some of you have comments. 1 minute. Basher Husham, right now, he's a tzaddik as he's crying. Right now, we accept him. Get up. Pick up the child, strengthen his hand. I'm going to make him into a great nation. Hashem opened her eyes and she sees the spring of water. She fills the flask. She gives him to drink and Elohim is with the Nar and he grew up and he becomes a shooter and an archer. 1 second. Interesting. She sits, Harche kemechatevei kashas. Whoa. She sits the distance of a keshes away from the child. The coldness of a mother who does not sit with her child. Mida kenega mida, that coldness translates into vayihi rovek kashas. It's the exact same word, take away the nekudos. The Torah, Sefer Torah inside does not have nekudos. The coldness of a mother, oh, I didn't realize when I was preparing. Wow, translates into the coldness of the child. Her lack of emotion, the child is crying, the child's in pain. I can't see. I can't sit with my child. This is the cruelty of a Hagar. This is crucial to our shir tonight. Hashem does not listen to her tefillos when she flees because the woman's a tzadikas. He listens for one reason, and it's reiterated over and over in the text. Rambam picks up on it, and so does Targum Onklas. Hashem listens to her prayer that comes from a place of inui, im ana ta'ana also. Ki im tsa'ok yitzak elai, if you surely oppress, he will surely call out, ki im shamo eshma, and the consequences will be dire, and rachmana litzlan, we have seen that come to fruition. But when it comes to Hagar being a good mother, and she in fact cries, we could, you know what's interesting? I just thought of something else. On Pasuk Tesayin, this woman is using the power of call, but she's not crying out of empathy for her child. Who's call? Who's she crying for?
Mm-hmm.
Herself. I, Al Era, the Aleph, I can't see the pain of another person. I can't look. I'm going to throw him away. She sits the distance of a keshas. She is a cold woman. Her voice comes from crying from herself. And Hashem heard the call of the Na'ar. I was very, having a pokeach every moment when this was all coming together. It was very, very late Friday night, putting it all together. And then I have to tell you something. listen to what Rav Shamsha Falher says after I began to put this together. And Baruch Hashem, Rav Salavechik says, if you have a thought and you find, you know, someone who said before you, commentator, Mefarish, a Gadol HaTorah, then you know you're on the right path. So listen to Rav Shamsha Falher, who very powerfully writes. First of all, he points out, Vayichlu ha-mayim min ha-chemes, okay, pasuk tesvav, and the water finished from the flask, okay, chemes, or Rav Shamsha Falher notes out, chemes is related to choma, wall. Ches mem, choma is a wall, which is something that encompasses and protects. That's what he writes. But we can deduce from there, she built a wall around herself. When the water finished, what is Hagar doing here? She puts a wall around herself. What does it mean if you build a wall around yourself? I don't want to die for anybody else. I don't want to see anyone else's pain. I'm not with you. I am behind my wall. Don't tell me what your problems is. So the mother of Yishmael, the Para Adam, removes herself from pain of humanity, we're talking about today, even from seeing the pain of her own child. She builds a wall. And Rahman al-Assan, you see today, interviews with these mothers, and they celebrate, and they laud, and they glorify, and the same way we, Lahavdil Alf Avdalah, celebrate, laud, glorify, L'Romim, L'Hadr, L'Natzeich, L'Shabech, L'Fa'er, Lahavdil Alf Avdalah, that's what they do for murder. Al Arab, but mostly, I don't even want to see what they're doing. I don't want to see, I put up a choma, I'm putting up a wall around myself. Listen to Rav Shamsha Falhirsch writes, and there's 1800s in Germany. Hagar's whole behavior is highly characteristic. It typifies the unrefined Chamite nature, the whatever nation she is from. A Jewish mother, listen to these words, would never abandon her child. Now, we're talking about Koach HaDibur. We're talking about many things, but this came up. I specifically say this for this class. This was not taught in Parashat class this week because Davka related to Koach HaDibur. We have both examples of koach hadibur here. When you oppress someone else using your koach negatively, look at the ramifications. And Yishmael uses his power of call positively and look at the ramifications. Imagine if Hashem would have listened, ignored Yishmael at that time. Imagine if his tefillos would not have been accepted. Shamsha Falhirsch says, a Jewish mother would never abandon her child, even if all she could do was to speak softly to him, to soothe him, if only for a millionth of a part of a second. Hagar only used her voice when it was convenient for her. When it came to the pain of somebody else, even someone from her own womb. What in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, is the womb called?
Rechem.
A rechem. Because a Jewish mother is full of rachamim. Hagar is the antithesis of this. So now it's strengthening our premise so strongly. We can further say 1,000 times, the only reason she was listened to in the beginning, the woman's not a tzaddikas. She's not calling out from genuine pain. She's calling out from pain of oppression. Who is the oppressor? That person is going to suffer. And their progeny will suffer down till today. Of her says, a Jewish mother would never abandon the child. Even if all she could do was to, what word does he use? Speak. Look at the tremendous power that is in Koach HaDibur. And look how it can be channeled. Even if all she could do was to speak softly to him, to soothe him, if only for a millionth of a second. One who abandons a child and does nothing because she cannot bear to see the child's misery does not act out of compassion. So you could imagine how, when I found this, the thanks to Hashem for really allowing me to find this Rav Hirsch's commentary. She does not act out of compassion. Her conduct reflects the cruel egotism of a brutish nature. She's an egotistical person. Al Arab, Mosayad. Wow, I can't handle the pain. True humanity is marked by a sense of duty that is incapable of mastering even the strongest of emotions. A sense of duty makes one forget his own feelings and allows you to extend help and assistance. Imagine she's a mother who can't do that. True sense of duty, true empathy, true feeling, true belonging brings you out of a wall. Who puts up a choma around themselves when they're a child? Rahman al-Atsan isn't paid. You should be able to extend help and assistance, even if you can do nothing more than speak softly and give comfort of compassionate presence. Hagar cannot do this. Thus, and then he says so beautifully, God, so now we could say that Rav Shamsha Falhirsch says it, not just us. God heard not the voice of Hagar, even though she wept, but he heard the voice of the child. Listen to this next line. Weeping. This is very, very powerful for us when we come before the Ribbono Shel Olam with our tefillos and our call and our tears. Weeping that issues from egotism and that accompanies inaction does not reach the throne of glory. I'm going to repeat that. Weeping that issues from egotism and that accompanies inaction. Hagar was weeping was from an egotistical place, and she took no action to help the person who was suffering, does not reach the throne of glory. And we see it down to today in these mothers. Their attitude is, Al Arab, Mosi Alad, I'm going to build a wall around myself. I don't want to see what they're doing. I don't want to know about it. Even if it leads to their death, that is something to be glorified, because there's no feeling for another human being. Furthermore, she threw the child under one of the shrubs. She does not care where the child will fall, writes Rafersh. It does not occur to her that he might fall among the thorns, that he might be scratched, that it would add needless pain to his tormenting thirst. The mother who hands out candy when her child goes onto a bus, a stabbing rampage, and then lauds and glorifies and exalts that child, has built a choma around herself. And that is a voice that is never heard, which strengthens that the voice was heard. I know you want to say something because of affliction. I want to finish the comments of Rav Hirsch. All the foregoing shows Hagar completely lost her head when overcome with her own grief. A mother descending from Avraham Avinu would never behave in such a manner towards her child. God has already heard the voice of the child. And Rav Hirsch says so nicely, so beautifully, Vayivkach Elokim esenev eterei be'er mayim. Elokim opens her eyes and she sees the well of water. Vayivkach indicates it was always there. I read this brought down by Rav Krohn a few years ago. It's not that it was a new be'er mayim. She just never saw it. Why didn't she see it? Because she was behind her wall of egotism. And Rav Hirsch says, had you not sat down at a distance, but had you sat at his side as befits a mother, you would have already seen that there was a well of water. Arise like a brave mother who should never give way to despair. Listen to the last line. Only then will you be worthy of God's help. So when are we worthy of God's help? When you pray, truly pray from a place of compassion, from empathy, from tears, not from an egotistical place that I am behind my wall. And if I use my voice to oppress someone else, even if that person is not worthy of being answered, Hagar feels we're not worthy of being answered. She was answered though, because why? The affliction of another human being onto her allowed her to be answered. But her true character comes out. She should never have been answered. She was not worthy of being answered. And Yishmael's name itself is Kishama Hashem El Aniyeich. The only reason she was worthy to have her prayers answered is because of the oppression. When we see her true character, it is the child who is answered by Asher Hashem. It is his call that is accepted. However, the coldness of her mother, who sits Kimechateve Keshes, emerges in a child who becomes a Rove Keshes, who Rachmana Letzlan, we are dealing with, contending with, striving with, fighting with, crying over, down till today. That is the importance, the significance, the power of call, and it's illustrated in both ways. What we do to somebody else negatively will come back to us, and when someone cries out selfishly, it will not be heard. And when a person cries out by Asher Husham, Hashem will answer. Okay, and now I'm going to take your comments and questions. You're waiting, Chaya. But Chaya, you have to talk loud for me.
The whole time, when it talks about Hashem here, it says it in the Lashon of Elohim.
Din.
Din. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe seven.
Right, so therefore, what are you saying?
I'm saying it's interesting.
So it's very strong that it's din, because
it's not,
you know what it shows us? What?
It's not out of Hashem's rahmanis. It's not, there's no yud kei vav kei, there's no other shem Hashem, only din.
So that's very strong. Yeah, because the reason it's very strong is even al pi din, he was worthy of being saved, Yishmael. From his tefillos. What we could say from there is even al pi din, there's no yud kei vav kei. We would expect some yud kei vav kei to say through Hashem's mercy was aroused, Hashem overlooked din. But no, the Torah is telling you even al pi din, Yishmael's cries are worthy of being saved. But not Hagar's.
But if you look by in Mitzrayim, it says Hashem with yud kei vav kei all the time. By the Makos and...
It says by what?
By the Makos.
In many different places.
In Mitzrayim, it says what?
Yud-kei vav-kei.
So therefore what?
It's just interesting. Here there's only Elohim, and there it does say Shem Hashem in different ways.
Okay, but if you look at the passage, if you bring a Mitzrayim, it's in Sefer Shemos, Perek Beis, Pasuk, Chaf Gimel to Chaf Hei, chapter 2, verse 23 through 25, those are the psukim, the three psukim that delineate that Hashem is waking off from Hester Panim. We're switching from Hester Panim to Gilu Shechina, and the word for Hashem used there is only Elokim. When it talks about the tefillos of Klal Yisrael crying out there, Vayishma Elokim Esna Kasam, Elokim heard their groans. I don't remember. I should remember. I don't remember. If you look in those three psukim, it's all din. It's all Elokim. Because the tefillah arouses, Rashi says this, the Bereishis Perichas Pasuk Aleph, the tefillah of a Rasha changes din to Rachamim. That's what Rashi says. Perichas Pasuk Aleph in Bereishis, the tefillah of Rasha. No, the tefillah of the tzaddik. Thank you. That's why you're nine, because I was saying it wrong. Rashi says the tefillah of the tzaddik has the capacity to change the midah of Hashem, the way he interacts. So even if it should be din, it's rachamim.
Even after the tefillah, it doesn't even say anything with rachamim.
Correct. So we could say that even al pi din, Yishmael deserved to be saved. That's an even higher level of salvation. God saves us for rachamim. Unless you bring up a different point that I'm not understanding.
No, she just pointed a point of information.
What?
But I think, I was thinking the other way. That really, if you think about it, that he really wasn't so deserving necessarily. That it was purely din. It was with no rahmanas. That means that a person should have, people think, that maybe Yishmael has a higher level of feel, but it's not the case at all.
Well, the din is the
Asher Hashem. Okay, one second.
The din
Rashi says, listen to me. In Parshas Noach, please listen. In Parshas Noach, Perches, Pasuk Av, Vayizkar Elokim es Noach. Elokim din, remember Noach. And all the beasts and the animals that were with him in the ark. And Hashem, Elokim, not Hashem, Elokim passed a spirit to go over the earth and the water subsided. Which two names of Hashem are here? Elokim din. And Rashi says there, Zeh Hashem Midas Hadinu. This is the name of justice. Din is used to signify it should really be din, but it's changed to rachamim al yedei tefilas hatzadikim. The tefillah of a righteous person has the capacity, Noach's tefillos in the ark, has the capacity to change strict justice into shame Hashem, into rachamim. It's exactly what we see here by Yishmael. Yishmael was davening. Yishmael is calling out. That's what the pasuk says. Vayishma Elokim el kol hanar, es kol hanar. Elokim heard his tefillos. The tefillah of a tzaddik in this moment, Yishmael's a tzaddik, ba'asher husham, have the capacity to change the midah of din into rachamim. So it's the midah of din manifesting as rachamim because Yishmael, ba'asher husham, who's a tzaddik right now, is davening.
But that's part of the din. That's part of the justice.
Right.
Yes,
that,
okay.
That Asher Husham is part of the justice.
Okay.
That right then and there, you're a tzaddik.
Okay. So right now, he's a tzaddik, and therefore his tefillos were heard.
Right, but it's not...
I'm saying that I don't exactly understand, but we'll continue after class if necessary. Because are there any other questions or comments?
Just a question, maybe comment. So Hashem had rachamim on Yishmael because he was a tzaddik,
or Ba'asher
because he
Husham.
Was oppressed by his mother. That he also had the inway for that.
You're adding another dimension. You're saying part of the rachamim. Oh, very nice. One second. Elokim here is changed to midah of rachamim, right? We just saw that in Rashi to Perek Ches, Pasuk Aleph of Bereishis. The tefillah of a tzaddik has the ability to change din to rachamim. So even though it's shame Elokim that's manifest, we understand that there's an amount of rachamim. Whoa. But because of what you said, listen to this. The rachamim of the mother is missing. So Hashem's rachamim steps in. Even if it's supposed to be din, Hashem takes the place. Ki avi, wow, very nice. Ki avi v'imi ya'azvuni, even if my father and mother leave me, v'Hashem ya'azvini, Hashem will gather me in. Because the rachamim is missing, because Hagar lacks that compassion, Hashem's rachamim steps in, even if it should be din. Wow, Hashem's rachamim, racham, takes the place of the absent mother, that mother who is absentee because she has no compassion. And now we could explain it beautifully. It is Hashem's rachamim, even though it should be din, because the racham of the mother is entirely absent. This is a mother who says, I can't even hold your hand. Even if she could do nothing except ease his pain with soft words, kol hadibur, for a fraction of a millionth of a second. She didn't even offer that. I just want to tell you about the Pesukim and Shmos, because I should have remembered them. Vayihi bayamim harabim mahim, vayamis mech mitzrayim, vayenchu b'nei so'am min ha'avoda, vayizako. It wasn't those great days. The king of Egypt died. Talking about our enemies, Rashi says he would shech babies. He had saras and bathe in Jewish blood. We would think it was not believable if we hadn't, our people hadn't suffered through the Holocaust. Vayenchu b'nei so'am min ha'avoda. You listening? They groan from the work. Vayizaku, they call out. Tzaaka, vata'al sha'avasim el ha'elokim min ha'avoda. Vayishma, elokim es na'akasim. Vayizkar, elokim es briso. Vayar, elokim es b'neiso. Vayeda, elokim. It is the midah of elokim, it's din, but through the tfilos of Klal Yisrael, it's changed into rachamim. The very next pasuk, Moshe was the shepherd. Moshe represents the beginning of Gilui Shechina. The reversal from Hester Panim to Gilui Shechina occurs in these pasukim because the tfilos of the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael changed din into rachamim. Except that you added a very, very beautiful element. It's dafka when the rachim of his mother is absent that elokim changes to rachamim. Beautiful. Anything else? Beautiful. Anything else?
Well, Hashem Rasham, I think, even when Asaph could be seated with Rasham, like, Hashem knows the future, it always upsets me. Like, why did he kind of, he knew that Yishmael was going to, what he was going to turn into. He knew what Asaph
yes,
was going to turn
know.
Into. Arimahos knew, and they wanted to kind of get rid of them, but Hashem Rasham, at that very moment, when Asaph brought his father that lentil soup, and he gave him kavod, and Yitzchak wanted to give him a bracha. Yitzchak truly loved him. At the time, he didn't
right.
do anything wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
He actually gave respect to his father.
Right. So Hashem knew, but man is bechira, and if man acts in the proper way, then the right. Hashem's yidiyah overrides bechira. Oh, ladies, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much.